During the worship, I had this overwhelming sense of God's goodness. I got to think about this reality, that any creature, any animal that God has created, okay, is more faithful than any of us. Think about that just quickly. It's more faithful than any of us because that creature, that animal, is doing exactly what it's created to do. And we sometimes don't. And yet God has chosen us. He's chosen us above all of that. Out of all His beautiful creatures, all His creation, He's chosen us above that. In the words of that song, there's no shadow you won't light up, no mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no lie you won't tear down, wall you won't kick down, coming after me. He loves us above all of His creation. It makes Him such a good, awesome God. Can you say amen? Turn to three people around you. Just share the goodness of God quickly. Would you do that? We just want to give God thanks and praise as a quick testimony concerning God coming through for one of the Dreeb children again.
Excuse me, ek is bietjie baie emosioneel vol. 36 dae terug het my sussie se kind Shivanay Duvenage was sy by een van Dreeb se kinders wat geëerlift is Milpark toe. 36 dae het daai kind deur operasies gegaan, die een na die ander. Sy is in ICU gewees tot gisterand. Vanoggend is hy uitgeskuif na 'n gewone saal. Daai kind het in die week het sy begin om 'n hamburger te eet. Dis eers goed wat sy van ma gesê het, dis wat sy wil hê. Ek wil net vir die Here sê dankie, baie dankie. Daai kind het nie gevra nie, maar daai kind is gelowig. In nog toestand, bly sy nog bid vir dit vir die Here vir nog op pappa vorentoe lê. Ons is net baie gebles. Dat ons weet, die Here het ons nie verlaat nie, nie een oomblik nie. En almal het hou aan nou blid. En ek sê vir julle, as hy gesond is, en hy is hierdie kant weer by ons, gaan ek vir ons nie sy met enig kom, wat julle haar kan ontmoet. Want is 'n kind wat sterke geloof staan. En sy gaan deurdruk, want die Here wil net vir ons wys, daar is nog wonderwerke daar buite.
Amen. God is good. God is faithful. Hallelujah. Okie dokie. Can we just pray together? I want to lead us in a prayer and ask you just pray with me, repeat after me if that's okay with you. Just come to the Lord this morning. Say, Father God, You're an amazing God. Jesus, the words that You speak are life for me. Here I am. You know me so well. Nothing about me is hidden from You. Holy Spirit, take my thoughts and my heart this morning and help me focus on Jesus. I want You, Lord, to change me and to teach me to love You more. And to love like You. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. If you got your Bibles, turn with me to John chapter 15. We're going to read together as a congregation. Chapter 1 to 17. The theme that we've been busy with for several weeks. John chapter 15 verse 1 to 17. The theme is fruitfulness. And we're getting closer and closer to the end. And getting to the crux of the matter. And the punchline, so to speak, of what Jesus has been trying to say to us. All right, so if you do not have a Bible, you can follow up on the screen with us this morning. Jesus says, I am the vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You're already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. And as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. And if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit. So you will be my disciples. And as the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love is no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain. For whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another. Several times Jesus gets the disciples and the audience that he's speaking to concentrate and meditate on the theme of love. And we've been doing an exegesis of this passage of Scripture for several weeks, exposing and discussing each verse at a time and homing in on the thoughts that God has intended for us to get out of this passage of Scripture. To recap what we spoke about last week, we looked at verse 11. We said, Jesus speaks about his joy. And then he speaks about our joy. And we asked ourselves the question, myself, what is Jesus' joy? What is our joy? And Jesus' joy is seeing us fulfill the destiny that he has planned for us and the purpose that he has for us. Jesus' joy is seeing us step into that which he's always had in mind before anything was ever created. And our joy is us experiencing the fullness of God's plan coming to pass in our lives. There's no man-made thing, there's nothing in the world, there's nothing else in the spiritual realm that can satisfy at the level of body, soul, and spirit quite like God can. There is nothing like that. There's temporary relief, momentary verlichting from pain and koala, muddled blaney. There's always something that we're going to do to keep that void full, but only God can do this. And this is Jesus' joy. We look at the fact that he spoke to us and said that he wants his joy to remain in us to keep us strong, because his joy is our strength. What are we going to need strength for? Strength to not lose sight of the things that he has promised us, because we saw how easy it is for the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches to come in and take away what God has given us. Therefore, Jesus said, I haven't given you these things to give you a new system of religion that you can command and lord it over people, to give them a lifestyle that's onmoontlik vir enige iemand om by te leef anyway. It's not a system of rules and regulations that's difficult for anybody to believe. He's given us, I command you these things that your joy may be full, so that the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches don't come and steal the good things that I've deposited in your life. Did you learn something last week? Hallelujah. That was just a recap. This week, we're going to look at verse 12. And in verse 12, and see how far we get this week, it says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Jesus comes and he turns the whole religious world upside down. I'll give an example. Try and understand what it was like for the people of the day where this guy makes all these claims. Yeah, they see this boy. Some of them watched him grow up. They watched him go through nappies, go through teenage issues, get pimples, and all of those things. They watched him grow as a normal human being like each and every single one of us. And yeah, ewe skielik, op 'n dag, he hits the public streets and he starts claiming that he's God's son. It's like, what? Can you imagine how weird it must have been for them people? Geen wonder hulle het hom gekruisig. He was weird and radical and turned the religious scene upside down. Imagine everything that you are used to today in terms of a simple thing. Let's think of something that's impacted all of our lives. Cellular telephones. It has literally changed the way we live. Do you know that? It's literally changed the way we live. Now imagine something comes along and changes all of that again, all over somehow. That's how radical the words of Jesus were. They had an understanding of what it was to love. They had an understanding that you must love your neighbor like you love yourself. They had an understanding. But if your enemy is your enemy, then you must sort your enemy out. They had an understanding of what love meant to be. And this guy called Jesus, as radical as he was and is to this day still his words, comes along and says, you must love one another as I have loved you. You see, Jesus didn't come to abolish anything in the law, but came to fulfill it all and take it to a whole new level and raise the standard completely. Everything that he touched on, that he specifically addressed concerning the law, he took to a whole new level and fulfilled it in himself. So that command to love your neighbor as yourself, Jesus came along and he said, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. I think it was last week or the week before, we said, how can we sum up all of this stuff about fruitfulness that we have been speaking about? Fruitfulness is simply loving like Jesus did. That's fruitfulness. All the stuff, week in and week out, fruitfulness, what does it mean? Does it mean manifesting and demonstrating the gifts of our spirit, the gifts of the Spirit in our lives and the fruit of the Spirit? Yes, but all of those things can be wrapped up in this, showing this kind of love. He sets a new covenant standard versus the old covenant standard for love. In verse 13, he says, greater love has no one in this than to lay down one's life for his friends. In verse 13, Jesus reminds us of the cost of this kind of love. You see, when I gave my life to Jesus, desperately suicidal, trying to choose which gun will kill me the quickest, my own 357 Magnum or the state's 9mm semi-auto. Which gun is going to kill me the quickest? Desperate. Believing the devil's lie that I must end it all and I'm already a failure if I have to ask for help as a man. Jesus came and rescued me out of that miry clay. Gave me a purpose and a reason to live and lifted a burden that only he could bear. And only he could lift. But I didn't give my life to Jesus with this in mind, that now, Lord, I'm surrendering my life to you so that I can one day do the same to serve other people. That was not on the cards. That was a deal for the contract. That wasn't part of the equation. But folks, we're going to talk about a little bit later, as we grow and as we mature, that's the essence of the Christian life. To love like Jesus loved. He says, no greater love is there that a man should lay down his life for Christians. I want to ask you to be very bold and very brave and courageous this morning. Is that okay, family? Is that all right? We're family. Some of you are like, you're not sure. You're like, don't want to nod your head. If you want to be like Jesus, and please don't, moenie gedruk voel om saam te werk net om het allemaal te doen. Just be yourself. We're okay, yeah, you can be yourself in Bikers Church. Can you say amen? We love you just the way you are. But Jesus loves you too much to leave you the way you are. If you want to be like Jesus, just raise your hand. Okay, put it down quickly, because that also means that you must be willing to lay down your life for others. We will know a land of obstacles. Some of those hands are going up a lot slower. It's like, who wants to be like, yay, okay, lay down your life. Sorry, what? Fruitfulness. After week after week after week of exposing 17 odd verses. Greater love is no one than this, than to lay down his life for his friends. You see, folks, I don't know why you join church. Why you go to a church. Why you commit to the body of Christ, yes, but you commit to a family. And in families, there's issues. Okay, let me try this side. Maybe there's more believers here. In families, there's issues. Wie van julle kom 100% altyd oor die weg wat elke liewe lid in julle familie steek op julle hand asseblief? En lieg man. Every family has issues, including the family of God. So what do I do? Am I going to live my life in this family just for what I can do and just what I can get and just my growth? Or am I going to be willing to lay down my life for the family even when it's not comfortable, even when it's not right, even when it's not working out for me, even when I'm not getting what I should be getting? Laying down your life for the brethren. I think if, yo, folks, this is a challenge of Jesus, and he comes and he says this. This is fruitfulness. Greater love is no one than this, than to lay down his life for his friends. It reminds us of the cost. We will not be able to live like this unless we're abiding in Christ. Now, this word abiding, we exposed it a week or two ago, maybe 3 weeks. Abiding in Christ simply says, I am the vine and you're the branches. If you abide in me and my Father in you, you will bear fruit. Abiding simply means this: to live with an overwhelming awareness of God's unconditional love for you instead of a sense of being driven to do things. What a difference. We will not be able to love like this until we fully realize and understand God's love for you. For you. If you don't realize your worth and how valuable you are, the song says, and it's true, you'll leave the 99 to come and find the one lost one, because the scripture says there's more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just people who are sharp in Opat Yemel 2. When a sinner comes and says, God, I need you, Jesus, take over, heaven rejoices. Do you realize, church, do you realize how much you're loved by God? Do you know this morning where you sit there, miskien wil jy vir jouself, Mozzie, nee, die hele hel breek los in my lewe. You don't know what I'm going through, Mozzie. Dis maklik om daar te staan en te preek, but I'm going through hell on earth. I'd rather die than be alive right now. My brother, my sister, God knows exactly what you're going through. Perhaps you become a skilled expert at putting up a front. Hoe gaan dit? Nee, goed. And you say all the Christian things, but inside, you see, if it could just all end, you'll be glad. I want to tell you, my brother, my sister, God loves you. He loves you. I do not have the words in no language to express how much he loves you. It couldn't be expressed in words. That's why he had to come and show it on the cross to say, I love you this much. I'd rather die and give up everything in heaven than live without you. That's his love for you. In church, if you don't have that here, you will not be able to lay down your life for others. We can't. You've got to have this love, this way flourishing and growing before you can even try and live it. People, how do we love those who do us harm? How do you love somebody that cups you? You want to be like Jesus, you turn the other cheek and Savaris vrachtig, hy klap jou nog harder as die eerste klap. How do you love someone like that? How do you love someone who wants to destroy you and take your family out? How do you love someone like that? Mense, ek herken voel julle vandag. I can't. I tell you today, I can't. I can't. I can't do that. And yet, tell you what, my hardnekkigheid and the old sinful flesh that I fight against every day of my life sometimes doesn't want to. I don't even want to try and love. I have to come to Jesus and say, God, would you just change my heart? Just change my heart, God. I can't. I can't do this. We can't love like this unless you understand his love for you. No, this morning, I don't have words to tell you God's love for you. And if you think, oh, Mozzie, I've heard this so many times before, I've been going to church my whole life, but it's still just stuff that I hear about, it's not real. Then get real with God. Get desperate with God. Hold your breath as long as you can, however many seconds it takes. And before you take that next breath, before you can't keep your breath anymore, decide to get real with God and say, God, I want to know your love for myself for real now, Lord, this morning in this building. And know his love for you. Or else you'll never be able to love outwards like that. Abiding simply means living with an overwhelming awareness of God's love for you instead of being driven with an idea of performing tasks and doing things for Jesus. You see, people, David Tripp said this, just ricked me to the core of my being. We're in a dangerous place when Christian maturity is based on knowing instead of being. You say, oh, he's Christian, he's a mature Christian because listen to how he quotes scripture. Maturity is not knowing, it's being. Being. That's it. The most powerful people in the world. The most powerful people in the world. We sing songs about being world changers. I wonder, Mozzie, what impact have I had on the motorcycling community? The lost motorcycling and unchurched motorcyclists, their friends and families of the world. What impact have I had on their lives? What impact have I had on their lives? Speak about being world changers and we sing songs about that. But as the Church of Jesus Christ, the most powerful phenomenon on the planet, besides God's presence and the human will, is His church, His chosen vessel. The most powerful people on the planet are those who love like Jesus. That's it. Those are the ones who really impact other people's lives. Those are the ones who really make a difference in other people's lives. Those who love like Jesus loved. And that's what He's calling us to do in this passage of Scripture. We don't abide in Him just that we can look good as branches, bearing all this lack of Christian fruit. But it can be this incredible love. That when people come into contact with it, they don't necessarily understand it, can explain it. They just know that they want it and that it changes their lives. Perhaps you've been at places where churches and people and ministers and leaders have disappointed you and you become disgruntled and discouraged and think, ach, you know what, why must I anyway? Why must I bother? Look how they're carrying on. And as dit hoe Christene is, sal ek dan eerder bly. But I want to tell you, they're one church chair closer to the things of God than you are perhaps because they're at least trying. You say, ek wil nie soen toe gaan nie because they're all hypocrites. Okay, well at least they're hypocrites seeking God together. Kyk mense, hier is niemand van ons hier so nie, myself number one, wat die antwoorde het vir alles nie. None of us have arrived. I said, we haven't arrived. We're on our way, but we haven't arrived. So we do this thing called life, and we function as this thing called this church, and the family of God together, the family of God together, to live like this, so we can bear this fruit called love. Verse 14, he goes on to say, you are my friends. I love that. You're my friends. I think he had to use this word and he chose to use this word because they were faced with all of these rules and regulations and systems and stuff that made it impossible for anybody to do anything. So much like so many churches today. I pray that we never, ever, ever, even in our, and Les was sharing with me this week, the words he used, like the liberal, like almost anything goes kind of way we do things. It's, I pray we never let that in itself become our religion, our system and our way of doing things, so that when others come, they don't feel comfortable. Pray that we don't become like that. And he said, guys, I'm talking to you as friends. You're not my subjects. It's one of the reasons why they're so disappointed in him. They expected him to come and reign as this King David to kick the enemy's butt and just to wage serious warfare and just track a par skote af daar and just settle everything and defeat the Roman government. Ish, I think I would have, I'm like pretty much in that in that case. Yeah, Lord, just come and just topple this government over me. Just mense say we must pray for the government. I'm praying for the government. I'm going to tell you exactly what I'm praying for the government. I'm going to read to you what I'm praying for the government. I'm unashamedly praying this for the government. Hallelujah. Nee, nie daai ene nie, Mozzie. Skrik net wakker. Hierdie ene. This is what I'm praying for the government. It is this one. Psalm 109 in verse 8. You can put it up. Read it in various translations. Read it in various translations. Because the instructions given to Moses is to what I've told you give to what kind of men? Faithful men. So that they may in turn give it to other, what kind of men? Faithful and capable men. So we pray for faithful and capable people to rule this nation. Can you say amen? Psalm 109 and verse 8. Pray for the president. I'm praying for the president. This is what I'm praying. Let his days be few and let another take his office. I'm being honest with you. Let his days be few and let another take his office is my prayer. Give it to faithful, God-fearing, capable men. And unless, I've said this before, don't necessarily pray for a Christian government. What does it help if we've got a Christian government and they don't know how to run a country? We need people who know how to run a country. It's very quiet now. It's gone over your heads, but let's get back to what we're saying here. And I call you friends. He says, you are my friends if you do whatever I command you. Here's the deal. What does Jesus say? You are my? If you? So what comes first before doing? So Jesus places relationship above results. Of the lights going on. He places relationship above results. So you say, what about my past results? It's under the blood of Jesus. Yo! I'm so glad my past is under the blood of Jesus. And what's uppermost in his heart is my relationship with him now. The fact that right now I'm seeking God with every fiber of my being. Right now I'm hungering and thirsting for the things of God and staying as focused on Him as I can. The fact that I'm doing that right now is important to God because my relationship with Him and His relationship with me is uppermost in His mind. You're my friends if you do what I command you to do. You're my friends if you do what I command you to do. The emphasis is that friendship, people. And he goes on to give us a growth process and a walk that we should walk as we do this thing called Christianity. And as we carry our cross on a daily basis, verse 15, he says, no longer do I call you servants. For a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. How many servants are there in the body of Christ? They haven't a clue what's going on in the Father's house or the Father's heart. But they're servants in the body of Christ. And that's great. Folks, it's a good place to start. You come to know the Lord. I'm talking if you really meet Jesus. I'm not talking about saying an emotional prayer at some little altar call where jy heel snot en trane vir 'n paar oomblikke, dan gaan jy huis toe en dan niks verander in jou lewe nie. Ek praat nie daarvan nie. I'm talking about if you meet Jesus. You meet him. And you let him start to change you. And the Spirit of God captivates your life. That's what I'm talking about. There's a difference, people. When that happens, immediately you want to start serving. Yay, and it's like shooting star Christianity. Shooting star, it's bright and it's fast and spectacular, but it's short-lived. It's like gone. There's a man, I forget his name, but he's written a book called Finishing Strong. How many Christians finish strong? Hulle begin, yes, is it fear and flam, and then 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, 30 years down the line. What's the definition of being backslidden? Backslidden is the following. Some people this morning realize, I went to church and Pastor Mozzie told me I'm backslidden. Hallelujah. Forget that. Jesus loves you. Remember that. And he's got a plan for your life. And he's got... Hey, the scripture says God is what? He's married to the backslider. Isn't that cool? That, Ellen, what are we going to do to get the rest to believe it? He's married to the backslider. So you become a servant and then life happens. Then church lets you down, people let you down, leaders let you down, you let you down. And on the other skillet, that flame just like, I don't know. But you start off as a servant. Then you said, okay, I want to be a servant and stuff like that. Well, you start off as a believer. Sorry, I'm jumping. I'm excited, man. Hallelujah. You start off as a believer. Yes, ek glo. Jesus died for me. Hallelujah. My sins are forgiven. I'm a believer. Woo. And then you decide you want to start serving. And then you start serving and nobody thanks you. And you start serving and you don't get a leadership scroll. And you don't get recognized, you don't get a title, you don't get a position. And then it's not so lucky anymore. But then maybe you stick it out and you start, so you become a believer. Then you start serving. Then you realize, hey, to serve actually requires some discipline. Because there's certain protocols that are acceptable and protocols that are not acceptable. There's certain things that are, there's a way that things are done and a way that things are not done. And then you decide, okay, and you see that it needs discipline. Okay, then you become a disciple. You submit yourself to discipline. It's not an exciting word today. Have you seen what's happening in our schools? Dear Lord Jesus. Well, They don't want to apply scriptural principles. Wat kan ons maak? Pray. Pray. So you see, it requires discipline. So you go from being a believer to a servant, to a disciple. But this is where God says He wants us to be. He wants us to be at the place where we understand that we are sons and daughters. Sons and daughters. Not just a servant. Not just a believer. Not just a servant. Not just a disciple. But a son and a daughter. This morning, church, if you're living a surrendered life to Jesus, you are a son and a daughter of the Most High God. Ongeag van die patch, ongeag of jy 'n kruisie om jou nek het of whatever, of 'n tattoo van 'n teksvers or whatever, if you're living a life surrendered to Jesus in faith, you're a son and daughter of God. And that's what He wants. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I've called you friends. We must grow from being mere believers to servants to disciples to sons and daughters of God. I've been going for half an hour already. It's time to land this thing. There's another part of verse 15, and it speaks about all things I've heard from my Father. All things. Do you mind if I go on a little bit longer? Can we just finish verse 15 quickly? Is that all right, church? We'll see how long it takes. Paul says, finally, brethren, and several chapters later, he's still going on. Okay, so, for all things that I heard from my Father, I've made known to you. All things, those things. The scripture excites me. It speaks about He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High. The secrets of the Lord. What are those? I want in on those secrets. I want in on those secrets. Jesus lets us in on family mysteries or family secrets. Some translations use the word mysteries. Other translations use the words secret. Every time it's spoken of in the New Testament, it means something that wasn't before generally known to everybody is now being revealed by Jesus. One of them is the gospel is for the Jews as well as to the Gentiles. One of these mysteries is the mystery of Christ in you. He became a creature that never existed before. Man with God in. God with man in. He went back to heaven not the same way He came. He went back to heaven different. Became like us so that we could become like Him. It's one of the mysteries that are exposed in the scriptures and in the testimonies and the teachings of Jesus and in the New Testament. He lets us in on these mysteries. And He says, all things. Everybody say all things quickly. Okay, I'm really going to land this thing soon. All things I've heard from my Father I've made known to you. And what comes to us from the Father through Jesus gives us life in abundance. Okay, these things, what are they? Well, they're the scriptures as we know them today. The words of Jesus, the revelation that the Holy Spirit brings to us. 2 Peter 1 and verse 3. As His divine power has given us all things that pertain to life. That means heaven has held nothing back. He's given us all things that pertain to life. God has not kept back a few special things or a few special secrets that He only gives to a certain selected few. No, for anyone and everyone who's hungry enough, He has given all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue. So through the knowledge of Jesus, He's given us all things that pertain to life. These are some of the family secrets and the mysteries of God. Gives us life in abundance. What are the scriptures? What is their purpose? Reels en regulasies om jou oor jou hande te tik. If you be naughty? No. This is what scripture is for. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16 from the NLT. All scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. Isn't that beautiful? That's the purpose of scripture. It's inspired by God. It's all true and it's useful to teach us what's wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. Jesus' teachings are like mysteries to those whose hearts are not open to His gospel. You read the word and it's like, go out there, that sign says, be the change you want to see, and then there's no change. The change hasn't even taken place in your heart before you even leave. Mysteries and secrets to those whose hearts are not willing to be changed by Him. Those whose hearts are not open to Him. His teachings are like that. It's like, huh? Say what? Huh? That's a good. That's what it's like. Instead of, wow, Lord, that's what it means to me. In Luke 8 and verse 10, he says, to you it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the rest it's given in parables, that seeing you may not see, and hearing they may not understand. Last thought as the deepening comes up as we worship together. Nothing outside of the all things. Listen carefully. I've heard that before. Dion, behave, Dion, behave. Nothing outside of the all things of Jesus' teachings. Nothing outside of the all things that is received from the Father. Nothing outside of the all things of Jesus' words that is taught from the Father will give us God's version of abundant life. Nothing else will give us that, people. We started off by praying, Jesus, these are your words. Today, we've had the distinguished privilege of hearing Jesus' words. The words of Jesus. The all things that pertain to life. You're sitting here this morning, I don't know where you are at in your walk and your journey in life. But God knows where you're at. I want to pose a few challenging questions to you. Several categories of people, I'm sure one of us, all of us will fit in at least one, maybe some of us will fit in all of them, it doesn't matter, as long as you're here to do business with God. Maybe you're at a place in your life, you're a Christian, you think, Mozzie, there's no fruitfulness in my life. It's like I'm doing the same thing over and over and over, and I can't really see a change, and it's not real to me, Mozzie. Maybe you're in that category this morning. Maybe you're at a place in your life where you don't have a relationship with Jesus at all. Maybe Christianity has been told to you and taught to you in such a way that all it's ever been is you've got to do, you've got to do, you've got to do. And it's such a high standard. I can't live up there, so I'm not worthy. I can't make the grade. Maybe you feel like that this morning. Maybe you're in that category. Maybe you have no relationship with Jesus at all. Maybe you're not sure if I die. Is there peace? I mean, real peace between you and God. Really peace. Not there's peace in my heart between me and God. Maybe there's no peace in your heart. Maybe you're in that category this morning. Regardless of the category you're in, this which you're feeling in your spirit and you're hearing with your ears and knowing in your heart is the Spirit of God tugging at your heartstrings. Speaking to you, my brother, my sister, this morning, wherever you are at, whatever category you fall in. This is not about naming and shaming or exposing anybody. This is about men and women being real and serious with God and say, God, I'm in business with you this morning. I didn't come to church to hear Mozzie speak. I came to meet with God. And what he has said to you. If you're in any one of those categories this morning, would you pray with me this morning? Is that okay, church? Can we pray together like that? Would you stand with me? Everybody all stand together as we pray for each other. If it helps you focus on the Lord by closing your eyes, do so, but you don't have to. As long as you don't get distracted by people or things around you and whatever has to happen for the rest of the day. This is the most important time of the service, church. Really just ask that you fervently intercede, continue to pray as we pray for folks this morning. You do business with God. If you've fallen in any one of those categories this morning, you know if you're serious with God. And I'm going to ask you, please, my brother, my sister, pray in your heart. I'm going to lead you in a few simple prayers, and if it's applicable to you, just pray it accordingly. As we just say, God Almighty, Lord who is in heaven, I've heard your words spoken into my heart this morning, Lord, and I've heard that, Lord, you love me, and I find it so difficult to believe, Lord, how can you love me? You know what I've done, God, I'm unlovable, but I've heard again, Lord God, you love me, and I thank you for that love this morning. And God, in response to you, in response to that love, I want to be obedient to you, Lord God. I see, Lord God, I've been walking a journey with you and I've been taught things, Lord God, but I don't see and perceive fruitfulness in my life and I want that to change, Lord. I ask, Holy Spirit, that you start to bear fruit in my life and let me make the change that I need to make so that fruit can start to grow in my life, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Let me do my part, Lord God, of obedience by saying, Lord, I will change and I will do whatever it takes, Lord. This morning, I'm not committing to a church, Lord God. I'm committing to you, Jesus Christ, God's Son, God Almighty, the Lord, the giver of life. Lord, let there be fruit in my life. Maybe at this place this morning, I spoke during the message, you feel completely unloved. I mean, how can I love others and don't understand the love of God? I pray, Lord God, for those folks this morning. You can pray with me. Say, Lord, teach me to love. Teach me to love anew. What it means, Lord God, to you to love others. Teach me that what it means to love like you love, Lord God. And last but by no means least, maybe you're this morning and you have no peace. You have no peace in your heart, in your relationship with God. And you want that peace. You want to feel that you're okay with God. And that God is okay with you but wants to change you and you're willing to let him change you. That's you. I pray for you this morning as we pray together and say, Lord, I know, Jesus, that you're the Prince of Peace. I ask you to bring that peace into my heart and into my life this morning. And last but by no means least, maybe you're here and you've never said yes to Jesus. You've never made him Lord of your life. Maybe you know him as your Savior because jy glo 100% en jy is oortuig, hy is God se seun en hy het gesterf en hy het weer opgestaan om die sondelas prys te betaal vir jou sondes, maar hy is nie heer van jou lewe. Dit beteken jy doen niks sonder dat jy weet dit dra sy goedkeuring volgens sy woord. Daar's party areas in jou lewe waar jy weet jy is in beheer van daai area van jou lewe en jy wil graag hê Jesus moet beheer neem en heerskappe uitoefen oor daai gedeelte van jou lewe. Jy wil hê jy moet heer wees van elke aspek van jou lewe. If that's you, you've never made Jesus Lord of your life, can you put up your hand? Anybody like that here this morning? Several hands going up. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. If you put your hands up, you can put your hands down again. I pray for those folks, Lord, that have raised their hands. Praise for those folks that have raised their hands, Lord. Father, I know they didn't lift their hand to impress anybody or to show anybody anything. Believe, Lord God, they've done it because they're serious with you. If you've prayed that prayer, I'd like the whole church, all of us, especially those folks that have raised their hands, I'd like the whole church to support them and encourage them as we pray this prayer together. But especially you, if you've raised your hand, pray this out aloud as we pray together. Just say, Father God, in Jesus' name, I come before you this morning. And I confess with my mouth and I believe in my heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Jesus, I believe that you died for my sins. Your blood was shed to wash me clean. And I ask you, Lord, to forgive me of my sins. Set me free from my past. Secure my present. That I'm a child of God because of what you have done, not by what I have done. And Lord God, from today, I commit my future into your hands. I commit to you to from today as best as I can with Holy Spirit's help to live for Jesus for the rest of my days. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen and amen. I want to ask you to do something very, very brave. If you've raised your hand this morning, I want you to please come forward. We're not going to take your details to try and get you to become a member of this church. We just want to give you a little book to make sure that you understand what has happened. We want to pray with you. We want to make sure that we equip you as best as we can, that you've started your journey on your walk with God. We're just going to take a few minutes of your time to pray with you. Like I said, this is not about taking membership up. of any church. Ons staan nie belang in lidmaatskap nie. We're concerned about the spiritual well-being of people. If you've raised your hands this morning, please come forward as the worship team leads us in a song. I'd like counselors with these folks here, please. A lady with a lady, a gent with a gent, folks. Somebody, just to make sure that they get. Ons gaan net vir jou 'n boekie gee. It's called Knowing and Experiencing God. Ken en ervaar God. We're going to help you in your journey. Folks are going to pray with you and help you understand what has happened. Let's give the Lord a praise offering this morning for what He's doing in people's lives. We want to thank God for this.